First Chronicles chapter number 16 is a wonderful passage as David is talking about writing a song as they just brought the ark for the very first time back to Jerusalem. And he's excited. He's thankful for what God has done. And so we're going to begin reading in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, verse number 1. And the Bible says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of the offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine." See, they celebrated the Thanksgiving feast back then as well. And so, and then in verse number 4 through 6, he mentions a couple names. Different people have responsibilities. And we'll pick up in verse number 7. And he says, "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm," or this song, "to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. He said, 'Give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac. And hath confirmed the same to Jacob for the law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yet he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. What a wonderful song of giving thanks unto our God. Verse number 9, we read, it said, "Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works."
Let's take our Bibles and turn over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, that's not Corinthians. Corinthians is in the New Testament. Chronicles is in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. And I apologize, ushers, if I didn't print enough handouts today. We have a number of visitors and family that are in, and we may run out, I don't know, but we're going to be at 1 Chronicles 16 in our Bibles this morning. Don't you love the holidays? You know, the word holiday comes from holy day. Holidays are holy days, and Thanksgiving has got to be one of the most sacred of all of the holy days, because it is just about the only holiday or holy day that has not been overshadowed by a culture that would sometimes like to hide Jesus. The Easter Bunny chases away the empty tomb, and Santa Claus runs the nativity right off the map. But Thanksgiving is just Thanksgiving, and it is still a sacred holiday and the fall of the year that reminds us of the goodness of our God and reminds us to give thanks to Him with our lives. What a great season the Thanksgiving season is. Oh, how we need Thanksgiving in our lives. We need the regular reminder of how good God is, and to recall the spiritual significance of Thanksgiving in all of its purity, this season of giving thanks unto our God. Do you ever feel like in life, everyone seems to be saying to you, gimme, 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 gimme. What have you done for me lately? We live in a gimme society. Hands out, wanting more and more and more. Rather than a thank you for what you've already given me. You know, there's a huge difference between a culture, a society, a family, a person who's always looking for you to do something else for them, and a person who is always grateful for what you've already done for them. You know, prayer, I think of that when I read about prayer in the Bible. Some people view prayer as a mechanism whereby I can get more from God. But that's not what the Bible teaches prayer is. Prayer is a mechanism whereby God gets more of us and draws us into His thinking, into what's important to Him, into what He has done for us. And time spent in prayer is a great season, according to what the Bible teaches about prayer, of entering into a thanksgiving to God for the goodness that we have from His hand. So the bluff, the bottom line up front of the message this morning is simply, we need to understand and live a life of gratitude. We need to encourage gratitude. We need to teach gratitude. We need to teach how to be thanksgiving. We need to lend our influence to help our culture, our families, our individual lives, to not be focused on what people can do for us, but to be focused on the gratitude that flows out of our hearts to people for what they've already done to us and for us and given to us. And of course, that begins with our God, giving thanks to Him, and then giving thanks to the people that God has used to enrich our lives. You know, the observing of holy days, or we call them today, we call them holidays. They're holy days in the Bible. And when we think of holy days, we are drawn way, way back into the early reaches of human experience. The observing of holy days goes back 3,500 years in human experience from today. It goes all the way back to the time when God brought Israel out of Egypt and took them to Mount Sinai. And there at Mount Sinai, God formed them into a nation of people. And God established a culture that would incorporate them as a people, that would give them a means whereby they might live in community one with another. And God established that culture around festivals, seven festivals, or feast days in which the people would gather together in community and would honor and thank God for different things that God had done in their lives and in that season of the year. And God established a culture that revolved around holy days of public remembrance of the goodness of God. God integrated into those feasts offerings. Offerings that the people would bring and offer up to God. And one of those offerings was called a peace offering. Let me read you a verse from Leviticus. This goes back to Mount Sinai, establishing Israel as a nation, establishing the culture of this people group. And God says, records for us in Leviticus 7, the Bible says, "This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving for his peace offerings. Don't you just love that word thanksgiving? That's the first time we have the word thanksgiving mentioned in the Bible. It was a time of giving thanks to God, along with peace offerings presented to God in their festivals, their feast days that they had as a nation. And this is the first time it appears in the Bible. And we know that beginning today and throughout this week, we're going to be gathering family and friends together. We're going to be in different times of family festivity, and we're going to enjoy Thanksgiving. And in this verse and in the passage that Pastor Chris read earlier, food was involved. I mean, at the very beginning of Thanksgiving, I mean, long before there was an American Thanksgiving, we're going back 3,500 years, 1,500 years before Jesus was born, they had a Thanksgiving public service. And in that service, they had food, and food was involved as they were taught by God to give thanks to God. And the food is mentioned. They were specified foods. And this week, even today, we're going to kick off Thanksgiving week with a big Thanksgiving feast. And I don't know what all's out there, but I know there's turkey and there's ham and there's I'm sure some sweet potatoes and some I bet you there's some pumpkin pie and some cranberry sauce. And we're just gonna and that's the American Thanksgiving, but we're not a Caucasian church. I mean, we're an ethnically diverse church, and so there's probably going to be some foods that are ethnically enjoyed by different parts of our church family that we'll all get to enjoy together. Thanksgiving involves festivity. It involves feasting. It involves coming together publicly as a people. And it has been that for 3,500 years in humanity. A significant public gathering back in Bible times was the one that Pastor Chris read about from 1 Chronicles 16, when David had brought the ark to Jerusalem, and they had a great time of thanksgiving to God and festivity publicly together, rejoicing, eating, praising God for who he is and what he had done. And that ancient Thanksgiving service some 3,000 years ago for David and the ark in Jerusalem, there's some things in that ancient Thanksgiving service that are important to us even to this very day. So I ask you the question, does this really ancient Thanksgiving service have anything for me today? And I believe that it does. I believe you can learn something about your life today from this ancient Thanksgiving service that occurred over 3,000 years ago that Pastor Chris read to us in just a few moments ago. Well, what is it that we can learn about our lives from this Thanksgiving service? And I want to ask three questions. You have them on your little worksheet, three questions, and we want to think about what this means to us this morning. The first question is, what stands out in this Thanksgiving service? As Pastor Chris read the biblical account, there are things that stood out to me. When I was reading and studying and meditating on this chapter of the Word of God this week, there were things that stood out to me. What stood out to me? Well, verses 2 and 3, the fact there was food. David made the end of the burnt offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every man of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. They had food. He gave to every person, every man and every woman, got a loaf of bread, a good piece of meat, not just a little old quarter pounder. A good piece of meat and a flagon of wine. Now, excuse me, this isn't a sermon about wine. But because the word wine in the Bible doesn't resemble hardly at all what is called wine today. I must say that the wines in the Bible were not the same thing as the wines available today. And so be careful of reading into the Bible something that's not there. They got a flagon of wine for each purpose, but that wine was not like what would be sold down at the liquor store today. They got food, they got beverage, and they were going to celebrate this time of thanksgiving to God for what God had done for them. They ate specific foods at their Thanksgiving feast. Something else that stands out to me, they celebrated with music. Verse number 4 to verse number 6, the Bible says that he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, next to him Zechariah and Jael and Amoth. You know what? Jerry Vines used to get to a place like that and he would just read it as Bubba. Whenever he couldn't pronounce the name, he just read Bubba when he publicly read the Old Testament. So Asaph and Zechariah and Jael and Bubba and Jael and Mattaniah and Eliab and Bubba and with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. What stands out to me is Thanksgiving involved a celebration with music. And they had a variety of musical instruments and they sang and they enjoyed good music as they thanked God for who he was. You see, God set this up with some special leadership. The Bible says that David appointed certain of the Levites, not just anybody. Now, Sarah Flugge invited me to sing with her and Ann this morning. They were practicing, and I walked through the auditorium, and I must have been whistling or humming, and it must have sounded like I was humming the song that they were singing. And Sarah said, oh, Pastor Mike's going to sing with us today. And so I went along with it. I volunteered, but neither of them were serious. Neither of them wanted me to sing with them. Not just any Levite can minister in this music program. Certain of the Levites provided leadership in the musical worship of God. And still to this day, only certain people can do that. But thank God for those who can. So certain of the Levites provided the leadership for the program. I'm jumping ahead to number 3. Number 3 says they celebrated with purpose. The purpose was incorporated into the leadership that God provided. David set aside certain Levites. Now, I want you to notice very carefully the word two, what they were to do. What was their purpose? They were given a special assignment. And this special assignment revealed what the purpose of this service is. This Thanksgiving service this morning has a very important purpose. And the purpose mirrors the purpose for which this ancient Thanksgiving service 3,000 years ago had. Certain Levites were to lead. And what were they to do? They were to minister, to record, and to thank and praise. Did you notice that? This reveals the purpose of this celebration. They were to minister. They were to serve the nation of Israel in what they led to occur and happen. Their ministry to this certain group of Levites were in leadership to conduct a service that would fulfill a purpose. And that was their ministry to that group of people. Not only did they minister by what they led the people to experience, but the Bible says to minister and to record. Now that's an interesting word. The word record. When you hear the word record, you think of someone writing something down and recording something that happened. Or in today's world, maybe recording it on a video or on an audio and record that. It means that, but it means more than that. To record, the word record meant to mark something so as to cause it to be remembered. The purpose of the recording of the event was to enable people to remember what happened, to remember why they were there and why they did what they did, and to worship, to minister, to record, and to thank and praise. Do you know that's what worship is? Worship is when we come and we are led to thank God and to praise Him for what He's done in our lives. That's the purpose of a Thanksgiving service. So when I look at this portion of Scripture, I am reminded that they celebrated with a meal. They celebrated with music, and they celebrated with purpose. The ministry memorialized something about God. What was it that they were wanting the people to remember? What was the purpose of memorializing, using this event to enable the people to remember something? Well, this chapter tells us exactly what they were to remember. And you know, holy days, or what we call holidays, holy days are in our calendar every year to give us an opportunity as a people to remember some things like the birth of Christ, like the resurrection of Christ, like our thanksgiving to God for His bounty. Our holy days were given to us not to enjoy a football game, although we will do that, not to enjoy whatever you do on holidays when you get all time off work and you do whatever you do on holidays, but the purpose behind that holiday, that holy day, is for us to spend time remembering something that is eternally important in our lives at the hands of God. You know, this morning in our Bible study hour, the thing that I ran way long on, we were reliving the true Thanksgiving story that was critically important in the launching of the United States of America. And then what happened after the launching of the United States of America. And we went over, and the reason I went over is because the purpose of today is to remember some things. The purpose of Thanksgiving is to spend time remembering some things, that we might have opportunity every year to stop and remember, and to teach our kids and to teach our grandkids things that we don't want them to ever forget because of how important they are. So they celebrated with a meal, they celebrated with music, they celebrated with the purpose of reminding the people of what is critically important. And what is that? Well, look at verse number 7. Verse number 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm. He said, I wrote a psalm. And I want to deliver this psalm. I'm going to deliver it to Asaph and to his brethren, because they'll put some music to the song, and then we can sing it. And if you get the tune stuck in your brain, you'll find yourself reciting the words of this psalm over and over and over again. And by that, God is teaching you something. He is causing you to remember by putting music to the psalm that was important on this Thanksgiving, that was recorded for the purpose of people remembering and never forgetting these things. And so David delivered to Asaph and his brethren a psalm. And what was the psalm? Verse number 8, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks. That's what Thanksgiving is. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. make known his deeds among the people. Now, I want you to notice there are two distinctly different things in that verse. You are to talk to God, call out to him, and thank him. This week is a week. It's a holy day in your life every year to remind you to talk to God about what God has done for you. To give to him thanks, calling out to him, and giving to him thanks for what he's done. That's the vertical relationship. But it doesn't end with that. Notice the horizontal relationship. Make known his deeds among the people. Not only is this holiday every year in November as a holy day in your life to remind you of the importance of spending some time talking to God, giving him thanks, but you're also to spend some time talking to others, telling them of what God has done in your life. Making sure the story of God's work in your life is told and retold and retold year after year, so that your kids and your grandkids will know when you got saved, how you got saved, what God has done in your life. They've heard you tell the story of what God has done in your life. You're making known to people the deeds of God. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his... Notice again, the vertical. Sing to him. Notice the horizontal. Talk ye of all his wondrous walks. Talk to him, talk to others. Sing to him, talk to others. Thanksgiving for 3,000 years since David had the temple, had the ark brought to Jerusalem, and they had this Thanksgiving public service. From that day to this, the people of God have had holy days in their lives on which they remembered to focus some concentrated time interacting with God and interacting with man. Thanking God and telling others what God has done in their life. Oh, it just goes all the way through this. He says, glory ye in his holy name in verse 10. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek him. In other words, let the heart of them that seek him rejoice. Seek ye the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. Seek God. Seek God. And when you seek God, stop and rejoice in what you find. Seek God. And when you learn something new about God, stop and rejoice about what you've learned about God that day. All these holidays are holy days that give us opportunity to focus on our God. Remember his marvelous works, verse 12. That he hath done, his wonders, his judgments of his mouth. Verse number 15, be ye mindful always of his covenant. Verse number 23, sing unto the Lord, then show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen. Not only share with your family, but tell the unsaved people of the glory of God in saving your soul. And let this go to all nations, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Verse number 28, give. Verse 28, give. Verse number 29, give. Thanksgiving is giving to God the glory that's due his name. Verse number 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And I don't know if you've stopped and focused on that. That's repeated six times in the Bible. It occurs first here in 1 Chronicles 16. It then occurs five times in the Psalms, that exact same phrase. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Number one, for he is good. Our thanks that we give to God is because of who God is, what he's like, what his character is, what his attributes are. Well, what do you know about God? What can you tell God about himself that you're thankful for? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, but it doesn't end there. And his mercy, that's what you've experienced as he has ministered to your life. So you praise God for who he is, and then you praise God for what he's done in your life. He is good, and he has been merciful to me every day of my life. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God because of who he is and because of what he's done in your life. Oh, the substance of this, the blending of this vertical and this horizontal throughout this public thanksgiving psalm. This is what was recorded so that we could never forget what God intends the giving of thanks, thanksgiving to be. God had it recorded to memorialize it so it would ever be in our memory and we would never forget these things. Oh, what stands out. And then number two, how does thanksgiving happen? How does thanksgiving happen? We live in a give-me world, but how is it that thanksgiving actually happens in the lives of some people? I'm going to jump over to Psalm 63. There's an extremely important statement here in Psalm 63, verses 5 to 7, with regards to thanksgiving. And it tells us how thanksgiving happens. We know thanksgiving comes from two words, right? Thanks and giving. The word thanks is from an Old English word, P-A-N-C, which means grateful thought or gratitude. It's thinking. It's in your mind. Giving thanks is giving up to God, offering up to God, giving to him thanks because of what originated in my mind. The thoughts of gratitude. Expressing thanksgiving begins with the thoughts of gratitude that you then offer up to God as a sacrifice of praise. Can you remember? I've said it many, many, many times ever since I learned it from Jim Benny. Head, heart, hand. Can you say that? Head, heart, hand. Say it all with me. Head, heart, hand. Head, heart, hand. Say it again. Head, heart, hand. It begins in the head. It moves to the heart. It comes out in actions in your life. I want you to notice this in Psalm 63. The mind, the heart, and the lips. You see them there on your page there. The mind, the hearts, the mind, the heart, and the lips. In verse number 5 of this psalm, the Bible says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." I want you to notice this head, heart, hands. He says, it begins in my mind. I'm laying on my bed in the middle of the night, and I remember when I meditate on thee. You see, thanksgiving does not start with what you do. Thanksgiving starts with what you think. The psalmist said in the middle of the night, in the night watches, in the middle of the night, when I was watching my father's sheep in the middle of the night, and I was staying awake to make sure the wolf or the bear doesn't steal a lamb and eat a lamb. He said, as I lay there under the starry sky, I remembered thee and I meditated on thee. You know, you'll never give thanks to a God you never think about. If you can go through a day or a week in your life and never think about God, you'll never be a thankful person. It begins in your mind, what you think, thinking about God, meditating on God. But then the thoughts of the mind naturally trigger the feelings of the heart. He said, "My soul shall be satisfied. With joy will I rejoice." Notice the heart feelings. He's satisfied. He's joyful. He's rejoicing. Why? Because of what he thought. What he thought triggered the feelings of his heart, and he felt gratitude and rejoiced in his heart. But notice that triggered his lips. He said, "With joyful lips will I praise thee." You see, what you think triggers how you feel, and what you feel triggers what you say. And thanksgiving is the last step. It's the giving up of thanks. It's what I say. But I can't get to that if I don't feel an intense joy in my heart over the God who went to the cross of Calvary and died in my place, over the God who's taken care of me every day, over the God who has sustained me every day. I'll never give thanks meaningfully to the God who I don't feel gratitude toward. But I will never feel gratitude to that God if I never think about him, if he never crosses my mind, if I never spend time meditating on him. How does Thanksgiving happen? Thanksgiving happens when you spend time thinking about the God who saved your soul. And those thoughts begin to trigger feelings of gratitude in your heart. And that feeling triggers your lips to say, "Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life." Gratitude happens when we think, feel, and then express our gratitude for what he has done. Here's one last question. Are we developing gratitude? Are we developing thanksgiving? Are we developing thanksgiving? As a culture, are we developing thanksgiving? As a church, are we developing thanksgiving? You know, Thanksgiving is a holy day on our calendar in America once a year, historically for the purpose of triggering us to remember how God has provided for us in America. How God provided in the establishing of America. How God took care of those who started America. And down to the present, this holy day is for the purpose of making sure we never forget the goodness of God. So the question is, are we developing that in our current generation? Are we teaching young people to think about God? Are we helping people understand the God of the Bible and all that he's done in history? Are we helping people know in their minds what an amazing God he is, so that that mental meditating and thinking about God will trigger heart feelings of gratitude, which will bring the giving of thanks out of their lips? Are we raising our children to be part of a give me culture, or are we raising our kids to be part of a gratitude culture? Are they always wanting something else? Or are they wanting to thank others for what's already been done? Well, how can we do that? Well, one of the ways we can do is to build a church culture that has arisen from the biblical teachings of memorial events that stress Thanksgiving. So that as a church, we learn the Bible, we learn what God says about gratitude and thanksgiving, we learn what the Bible teaches us about our God. We come to church, and what do? We sing. What do we sing about? We sing about our God. We're thinking about our God. We're verbalizing our gratitude to our God who has done so much for us. You know, a church culture can do amazing things if it's supported by a family structure that builds that church culture in their family. Of the worship of God, the thinking of God, the talking about God, the feelings of gratitude for God. A church culture built in our families. Now, another thing we can do is we can teach them to learn from our devotion. Do our children see modeled in front of them a grateful adult who's always thinking about God, feeling gratitude toward God, and talking about what God has been doing in their life that day or that week? Do our children have modeled in front of them every week a dad and a mom who are thankful people, grateful to their God? Because kids will often catch what they see modeled regularly in front of them. we can develop a church culture. We can teach them from our own life of devotion and worship of God every day. And then we can build some family traditions that stress gratitude and thanksgiving. A life of giving thanks flows out of the Bible continually. Can we establish some family traditions that will make holidays holy days and will give regular opportunity for our kids to learn how to be thankful? I was reading a Fox News article this last week. It was entitled, "Why Gratitude Trumps a Give Me Culture and How Parents Can Teach Kids to Do for Others." It's an interesting article on Fox News, on the internet, about how parents can build a culture of gratitude in the lives of their children. They quoted a psychologist from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was pointing out the benefits of those who live a life of gratitude. The individual said that research has proven that the more we focus on the positive areas of our lives, the happier we feel, and the more easily we're able to bounce back from distressing situations. Research has also shown that simple acts of gratitude can lead to a more positive attitude, better health, and a reduction of depression and anxiety. The holidays can be a time of give-me's. Giving to others doesn't have to be monetary. Volunteering your time as a family can develop this concept of giving back. While giving to others is important, being appreciative of what we have also develops character, said the psychologist. And so the article went on talking about the importance and the value of building into our children a culture of gratitude that the Bible has been teaching for thousands and thousands of years. The person who wrote the article shared a little idea that they happened upon and they practiced. They said when they're driving in the car or when they're sitting around the table, they play a little game. They called it "What Went Well?" And they take turns and they go around the family, and every family member has to tell something that went well that day in their interaction with other people to build a positive awareness of good things that have happened in their life at the hands of other people. And they would go around the car, they would go around the table, wherever they were, and they said in time, their kids began to anticipate that they would probably play that game at the dinner table, so all day long they were thinking about what was going well for them that day. They were thinking about what people were doing for them that day. They were trying to find something that they could share with the family when they played their game, what went well. And they said it created an atmosphere in their family where the kids were thinking about positive things, trying to remember positive things, being aware of positive things, so that they have something to offer up in their game at the end of the day. The whole idea is, are we creating family traditions that focus on gratitude to a God who's given us so much, to being so thankful to Him? Thanksgiving is not something new, and it didn't start with the pilgrims in 1621. Thanksgiving goes back thousands and thousands of years in human history. It goes way back into the early parts of our Bible when God's people gathered together publicly to offer up thanksgiving to God, to tell Him they're thankful and to tell other people what God had done in their lives. And that atmosphere of thanksgiving saturates our Bible. Now, I don't mean to end on a sour note, but could I ask the question, what happens when these thoughts of gratitude cease? And in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. He said, when people knew all about God, and then they just stopped being thankful to God. They just stopped thanking God. And they stopped glorifying Him as God. What happened? Well, the Bible says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They became vain in what they thought about, what they imagined, what they thought about was triviality, vainness, emptiness, things that have no real value, things that have no real importance. Reminds me of the word amusement. Muse means to think. Amuse means to not think. Amusement is something you do to escape thinking. And when they stopped glorifying God as God and stopped being thankful to God, they became vain in their imaginations. They began to think about things that have no eternal value and purpose. They crowded their life with entertainment and amusement. They didn't think about eternal consequences of God in my life. And their foolish heart was darkened. Their feelings became dark. Their feelings lacked insight. Their feelings lacked awareness of value. They began to feel thoughts of darkness. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, when we lose thanksgiving as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a nation, we put ourselves on a downward path. We stop glorifying God. We stop being thankful to God. We fill our minds with things that are trivia and don't have any value. And we begin to feel darkness in our hearts. You read the rest of Romans 1. It shows you where that path leads, and it's not a pretty picture. What's the antidote for that in our family? The antidote is Thanksgiving, a holy day. Or a lot of holy days in your family, in which you purposefully make sure you remember how good God is and how good God has been in your life. And then you tell him, and then you tell others about what he did for which you're thankful. And when you develop a culture of gratitude toward God, you will avoid the downward path that leads to such destruction. It's a simple antidote. God incorporated it into human history over 3,000 years ago. We have it in our American history since 1621. It's on our calendar every year. It's our opportunity to make sure we never forget how good God has been to us, and then to talk to other people about it so our kids know how great our God is.